Welcome to the world of Vala, an actual play tabletop podcast which uses the World of Vala system created by Entertainment Stew. Last time on the World of Vala ties that bind. Due to the damage they took with their encounter with Master Morrigan, our party decides to take a long rest. When Vera attempts to enter a dreamscape before she is dramatically confronted by the next ruler of the nation of Luloba and their older sibling, Dean Samoon Atlas. After getting a taste of family drama, the party continued on their journey as they delved into the mysteries of the Great Barrier Forest. Chapter 3, The Tyranny Puzzle. My life didn't please me, so I created my life. Coco Chanel. Fire Moot. Year 10,121. Day 3. 4 p.m. It is the same day that you took your exam to get into the College of Druids. You made it in. You were accepted. You have a bit of a high tuition to pay, but you are in. But as you were walking into a hallway that led you into the College of Druids, everything turned black. Ruka, you feel nothing as you wake up to find yourself underwater in front of a large underwater city.
Not again.
The surface and buildings are mostly covered in a dark green slime, in many cases several feet thick. The exterior of the slime may still be slick, but the inner layers have likely been solidified into the surface. Many of the structures that you see are massive, but seemingly simple in construction. Huge blocks of stones are the primary building materials, with doors or passages large enough to accommodate creatures of gargantuan size. Other structures appear to have been built for creatures of varying sizes, mostly ranging from medium to huge. You find yourself in front of a large statue, the cube in your hand. The dark aura that usually surrounds it dissipates in this city. You see the black box gleaming in your hand as you look around you.
So real quick, just to clarify some things, because the description is great. I'm in a large room. There are statues, and if you want to cut this out, that's fine. I probably won't need this. So large room, it's filling with water, or it has filled with water?
It's filled with water. It is underwater.
Okay, so we're currently underwater. Am I at the top, or am I down at the bottom?
You're down at the bottom.
Okay. So there's something keeping me down.
Yeah. And it's like you're able to like walk around, but you are very clearly underwater.
Okay. Do I notice any trouble breathing, or am I holding my breath?
No, not at all.
Okay, so I can breathe normally. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so there's a large statue in front of me, and you said almost Colosseum-esque with large doors, doors or doorways around the walls?
Doorways.
Okay. So is there a door in them?
No, just like corridors that seems like gargantuan creatures can like walk through.
Gotcha. And how many of those entry areas were there?
There are like hundreds. You're essentially what's seemingly in a center of a giant's underwater
city. Gotcha. Okay. Just going back into it. Okay, so Ruko at first is going to attempt to have the puzzle box melt back into his arm to see if that will work.
It does not.
Okay, so the box is out. You mentioned it's gleaming.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any particular spot on the cube that is brighter than the others, or darker?
No, but you see the blood-red ink etchings just kind of giving off of a burning light. But it's not burning to the touch, but it looks like it's like on fire.
Okay, is there any kind of pattern or direction the light or the pattern or the etchings are moving in towards?
No, not at all. It just seems like it's kind of highlighting a kind of runic pattern.
Okay. One last thing. Ruko's going to just kind of slowly turn around the room, holding the cube out in front of him, seeing if anything changes as he moves.
So, as you move it around and you get closer to the statue, it starts glowing more.
The cube?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I take a look at the statue? The statue?
What's yes. Like? So, roll a perception.
Let's try that again. Nat 20.
Nat 20. Okay.
Okay. Off to a good start.
Off to a great start.
Yeah.
You can completely look at this. It looks like as you gleam at it, it looks like there's a bunch of impossible angles on it. That there are things that you can't quite understand about the shape and the function of the statue. But since you have a Nat 20, it's like your brain naturally attunes to all of it. And what you see is the figure of a... seems to be a woman, and all you see is that it's just a figure of a woman, but it's like made out of marble. There's not a lot of details placed on it.
Okay, so it's the marble figure of a woman. Is she recognizable at all?
Roll a history.
Another good one. That is a 17.
There's something about the woman. You don't know exactly what it is, but there's just something about her that screams that I know you. I'm familiar with you.
Does it seem like I would have recognized her from any kind of brief glances from within the exam area of the College of Druids from earlier?
No.
Okay. So I know her from some other element of my life. I just can't quite pinpoint it.
Yep.
Okay. Is she holding anything?
She has an arm outstretched towards you, but there's nothing in her arm.
Okay, towards me?
Yeah.
If I move, does the arm follow me, or is it stationary, like a statue?
As you move, you notice that it seems as if it's following you.
Okay, so it looks like it's always pointing where I'm pointing.
Yeah.
Where are her eyes looking?
There's not enough detail to see.
Okay, so it's unclear. Can I tell what direction her head is facing?
Yes, her head is facing towards you.
Okay, as long with the hand.
Yeah.
So it appears her entire body is turning towards me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You said her hand is outstretched. I would like to, if I can, try and get up the statue and see what happens if I were to place the cube in a position where it would be in her hand.
Okay. Roll a dexterity.
All right. Team.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you get into that hand. Like, you're able to, like, because it's, like, a full-bodied statue, you're able to, like, jump up from the bottom and climb up into the hand. And not only is the cube in the hand, you're also in the hand.
So, very large statue.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, as you get into that hand, you feel a warmth from the bottom of your feet as the statue seems to come to life and lift you up.
Okay.
And then it brings you to its face, which has no detail on it. And it starts speaking to you. Desire. What do you desire?
Does it look like the mouth is moving, or is it more telepathic?
It looks to be... you're not hearing it in your head, but the mouth is not moving.
Okay, interesting. So it's coming from some kind of source. What a deep question. What does Ruko desire? Okay, looking towards the head, Ruko will respond. Freedom.
How would you reach your freedom?
Success and power. I wish to be free to live my life, to do the things I enjoy, which I wish to do. I think the best way to do this is to become successful, to get some amount of wealth and power.
I can promise you power.
Who are you, that I may properly address you?
There's a noticeable pause. How badly do you want this desire?
Well, I want this, you know, quite relatively. I guess through the question that I think you were asking me that I am answering here is how badly do I want your help? And yet I do not know yet.
What if I could offer you a clear and easy path to reach your freedom?
I would want to know what you expect in return. Nothing in this world is free.
You must only create a bond with me.
And what do you get out of this bond? Us.
Freedom.
Freedom from this place. You would have the ability to leave, yes?
I move freely from this place, but my mind does not.
And Ruko's going to kind of take a second and put his hand up near his head while he thinks and kind of almost scratch his chin a little while he's thinking.
And what are you offering me, specifically, in terms of what I get?
Access to power beyond your wildest dreams.
How do I know that I can trust you, that you have this power you are offering?
You are training to become a druid, are you not?
I am.
Becoming a druid is all about making bonds with other beings. How do you know if you can trust any spirit?
I find it a very interesting answer. That when I ask how can I trust you, that how you can deliver on what you offer, you simply say, well, how could you trust anything? I think maybe I might have other options. And I think in your position here, you maybe don't. I will come back, and I will let you know what I think. Spend this time maybe wondering about your pitch, about what you are offering me, what you will tell me. And at this question, in the climb up here, has Ruko felt that he's able to kind of swim or move through the water differently than he could on the surface? Or is this also magically enhanced that way?
It's also magically enhanced. You're kind of just like, it feels like gravity is acting on you.
Okay. So if I were to like jump off the hand, would that hurt me? Or could I just kind of jump off and like sail down a little?
You would sail down a little. So you'll be able to jump off.
I can jump off and kind of float down without too much hassle. Okay, I'm going to do that.
Okay, sweet. You, as you're landing down, you'll be back.
Yes, I said that I will be back.
And then you feel a ripple effect of like magic coming from the statue as you wake up. And you are currently being dragged through Area 78.
All right.
On the bottom of the map.
Yep, got right here.
Your eyes are open, and you see the back of an orange jacket, like, dragging you forward as you hear him grunting and complaining.
Have they realized that I'm awake yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. For the moment, how am I being dragged? Am I restrained at all?
No, not at all. It's just dragging you by your feet.
Okay. I'd like to attempt to try and keep my eyes mostly closed, but just kind of sneak a peek at what's around me and see what I'm seeing.
You are seeing a relatively open plains. There seems to be large, like, divots into the ground of just, like, destroyed pieces of area. You're not quite sure where you are, but it's a very different environment than you were at previously.
Other than myself and the person with the orange jacket, is there anyone in this area?
No, there's no one else in this area.
Okay. Is he saying anything, or is this creature mumbling to themselves at all, or communicating?
Roll a perception. Mostly because he's mumbling, like, kind of quiet.
Ooh, a one.
Oh,
My first bad one, and a very bad one it is.
You don't hear anything that he's saying.
Fair enough. Okay. Then with this, Ruko will, without moving too much, we'll just kind of look up towards this creature. Ruko, what do they look like from behind?
So from behind, you just see kind of a spiky cream-colored hair, brown skin, and a earring that's dangling off of their right ear that has a kind of rune etched into it.
Okay. Ruko will, as best as he can, try and attempt to move both his arms behind his head in a very relaxed kind of pose. And then once he's done this, just kind of speak out to the person. So where are we headed?
And then the guy immediately drops your feet. Ah, thank the gods that you're awake. Guy, you've been asleep for hours.
I find this happening quite a lot lately.
Like, everyone else woke up, everyone else is already gone, one of our group member went off without us. It's just us two.
And, who are you?
Damien Fiori at your service. Then he reaches out of his coat jacket, hands you a business card, and it's just like, Damien Fiori, it's an all, like, white business card. Damien Fiori, I fight good. And then he hands that to you.
Well, I'll take it. Thank you, Damien. Where are we? Where are we going?
We are finishing the last stupid trial to get into this stupid school. We have to bond with the spirit in the Great Barrier Forest.
Seems like an interesting kind of forest. It changes from place to place.
It changes, it constantly moves because the spirits are restless and awake and wild. And so we have to, in total, only out of the 100 and something teams, or over 100 people that made it into the school, only 53 of those teams are going to make it. We're separating teams of three, and we have to everyone in our team has to pass, or the team fails.
How do you know all this?
Because they gave us a speech beforehand that you were asleep for.
Okay, well, at least I do not remember. You said that you were on a team. Where are your teammates?
I'm on the team with you.
Oh.
Our third teammate ran off.
Well then, okay. Thank you for looking out for the teammate. I have a question.
Of course.
You mentioned I'd been asleep. You've been dragging me for some time.
Yeah, I have.
Did I appear out of somewhere, or have you been dragging me from the start?
I've been dragging you the entire time. You know, my hamstrings are feeling it.
Well, first off, I would say thank you for bringing me with you. I believe something strange is going on here, Damien. As Ruko kind of looks back down towards the card and puts it back in his pocket. Something I don't get to fully understand. You mentioned our third teammate ran off, and we need them to succeed for us all to succeed, yes?
Yeah, he essentially didn't want to have to care for someone that was knocked out and also someone that doesn't have access to any of his abilities.
That would be you, I'm guessing.
Yes, that'd be me.
You have no access to abilities.
None of my abilities. Like, I know my card says I fight good. Not right now.
What is keeping you from using these abilities, Damien?
So, and then, like, he kind of, like, makes a face and just, like, it's like he's debating whether or not he should tell you. If you could keep it a secret, I'm kind of bounded to someone else. And I can only use my powers if I'm near her. And I have no idea where she is in this forest.
You're not on the same team?
No. Me, you, and the other guy were put in the same team because we got some of the lowest scores on these tests. So,
and who is this other guy on our team?
Some jackass named Orion.
Okay, well, now that I am back here, that I am present, we need to find this Orion and get to work. Which direction did he run off in?
See, the problem is, I didn't want you to feel bad, but, you know, there's been monsters chasing us, so I'm actually kind of lost. We actually appeared in Area 5.
Okay, so he's a little far.
It's a little far.
It's been a distance.
Oh, wait, I forgot. He reaches to his jacket again. He hands you a map.
I was going to say, Area 5, that's a really specific thing. This is helpful. Okay, we can see. That's Area 5. That's quite far. That's quite the distance from where we are now. Okay, well, when you were in Area 5, where did he run off to?
He seemed to run off towards Area 4, but then I ended up getting sidetracked by something in Area 8 that ended up chasing us down all the way to Area 50, and now I've just been dragging you.
Okay, well, here is a plan of action for us. We are currently in 78. We need to go back up. I recommend we start by, and Ruko will kind of point towards the map. If we go off to the left here, towards 72, back towards the center, right? Because he was at the top right, we are at the bottom right. I believe he's being forced towards the center. It's probably our best start of looking for him. I say we go up top to the left, keep heading that way. And hopefully on the way we can bond some spirits while we look for this Orion.
Sweet. Okay. What spirit are you trying to bond with, by the way?
Are there specific spirits to bond with?
Yeah, everything has a spirit. You can bond with a spirit of flame. You can bind with a spirit of a rock. You can do trees.
Kind of spirit. I see what you're saying. I did not know if there were specific name spirits that we were looking for.
There's also beasts in the forest that you can bond with.
I feel like a beast would be a bit dangerous if they decide to run off. And Ruko kind of gesturing towards Damien could be troublesome bonded with another living being.
Well, the spirits are all living beings.
Well, a living being that can run away.
No, if they bonded with you, they're like your buddy. They're there. You have to convince them to, like, actually join your side. And then you do a little contract, and it's really nice. It's really magical. I haven't done it yet, but, you know, like, it's gonna happen. Oh! And he, like, throws the map on the ground. Forgot to tell you. Beginning of the thing, I haven't had to deal with it yet. We're currently being hunted by two of the, masters of the Arcanum, and if they catch us and beat us, we're also out.
Okay, who is hunting us?
This person named Sentinel and a sniper by the name of Genevieve Morgana. Morgan.
Okay, well, if she's a sniper, then we should probably stick to cover. We're in wide open plain, you said, yes?
Yes.
I mean, that was actually me asking you, but I just forgot the accent. We should not be in wide open plain. This is very bad. Quickly, we need to head over to the forest, find some cover if we're being chased by sniper.
Okay, the forest doesn't actually open back, doesn't go back into a forest until we get to 41.
Okay. Off towards 72 and 65, that's all open for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, then let's head up to 41 then. We need to get in cover. So let's start making our way that way, starting by going into room 69.
Okay, 69.
Very nice.
Within room 69. Oh. Within this area, an unidentifiable alder moves through the room. And then there is a creature sitting in the center of the room. Let's see. Sorry, I'm going through the beastry. It seems to be a kind of monkey oni like creature. It is huge. It is a huge monster. It hasn't caught sight of you guys yet.
Okay.
Would you like to roll to see if you know this monster off the top of your head?
Sure, yeah. It was a 12. Any modifiers?
So you can either use nature, history, or insight.
Let's see. I'll use nature and make that a 14.
Okay. That is enough. It's a pretty famous beast. It is a Fujin. A Fujin is an ultra-aggressive creature that is rarely sighted and seldom survived. Widely regarded as the pinnacle in unparalleled physical prowess. The Fujin is said to be a loner. This is due to the Fujin's near-permanent nomadic lifestyle. It's not entirely certain where the Fujin is capable of living, though it's not far-fetched to assume that it can be just about anywhere. The Fujin strongly resembles a traditional ape-like oni. However, notable differences include Fujin's broader muscles, large horns, hairy tail tip, and ability to use wind-based attacks. The Fujin's most notable attack is its ability to shoot aggressive winds from its mouth, either as a blast or a beam. They are hated by many adventurers due to the combination of speed, aggression, and power. Fujin are best described as being ultra-aggressive, willing to attack and kill anything that threatens them. Brutally at that.
Okay, which direction is it facing?
It is... It is facing away from you guys. It's looking towards 61.
Okay. Which doorway? The left or the right?
Left.
Left? Okay. Then kind of quietly towards Damien.
Okay. I do not think it is seen us yet. If we go around it to the right, try and go through doorway that leads, if you see on the map, doorway that leads to hallway to 50. Sneak around it off its right side. I believe we can get past it and sneak out that way.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, we can try that.
Okay, let this go quickly.
And so you're heading to 72. Oh, sorry.
The hallway that goes up to 50.
Okay.
Because you said it's looking towards, like, the 6160 doorway, mm-hmm. 6166.
I'm going to need you to roll a stealth.
Sure.
New dice, don't fail me now. That's 20.
Okay, so I got a 6. However, I am an expert in subterfuge. So I have the ability to re-roll dice when attempting to pass a stealth or persuasion roll.
Sweet.
So I'm going to do that now. Okay, there we go. That's going to be a 22.
Okay, yeah, you got it. So, you're able to sneak past it, and you see its muscles tensing up, but it hasn't seen you.
Okay.
It's like it's reacting to something else. And something that's causing this beast to react like that, you probably don't want to...
Don't want to hang around.
Yeah. So you guys are able to stealth all the way around, all the way to 50. And let's see what's in 50. Sorry, I have an entire, like, 44-page, like...
Note section?
Yeah.
You're good, man.
Okay. As you enter, you see a chest in the center of the room. And that's it. There's nothing else in the open field. It's just a chest.
Okay. I'm going to look towards Damien. Clearly, this seems like a trap. Big chest in open area. Can I take a look, walking towards it, to see if there's any blood or signs of someone being injured around the chest?
Yeah, go ahead and check. Roll a investigation.
That was a 6.
You don't see anything. You actually don't see any sign that the chest has been disturbed at all.
Okay. Let's see. Because I'm curious. It's a trap, but I'm curious. I'm a pirate at heart. I like seeing treasure. And I think there probably is something valuable in there, possibly. Can I investigate the around the chest itself while keeping hands off to see if there's any signs of a mechanism or a trap or something upon it being opened?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead. You can investigate it further.
Okay, that's an 18.
I'm also going to roll to help.
Cool.
Did not help.
Okay.
So you see what seems to be, like, it doesn't look like it's been disturbed, but it, as you're investigating, you look that it's on top of, like, a pressure plate.
Okay.
And that if you were to move it or jostle it too much, it would move it off the pressure plate, but you don't know exactly what it's going to do, but you can see it there with your high enough world.
Okay. You mentioned we're still in a wide open plain kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything above us?
No.
Okay. So just sky.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it's probably either something from the chest itself or the ground, which I'm not seeing anything from the ground. Okay. Knowing that the pressure plate is there from behind the chest, could I attempt to reach around and just open the latch without really moving it too much? Just kind of lifting it up? Okay, so I'm going to try and do that from, like, just around the side, lift open, and pull.
Okay, as you're trying to open it, you realize that it's locked.
Okay, is there, like a padlock on the front, or?
No, there was no, like, visible lock on it. It's just, but it won't budge.
Okay. Then I think the trap might just be, you're supposed to try and pick it up or jostle it a whole bunch to get the pressure to go off. Looking at the front one more time, could I do another check for specifically a kind of locking mechanism?
Yes, you can.
Right. 19.
So what you can see as you, like, you kind of brush your fingers against it, you make sure not to move it, like, and you don't, and you notice that runes start coming to light on top of it.
Okay.
So it's a runic lock.
Almost. Gotcha. I don't know too much about runes. I'm going to turn towards Damien. Do you know anything about runes by chance?
I know a little bit about runes.
Okay, this chest is locked runically. Do you know of a way to get past the runic lock?
You could try to come up with another rune that breaks it. Or you could forcibly try to break the rune with magic. Would you like me to try?
I think that might be a bad idea. It might, I think, disturb the chest just a little too much.
Okay. Then should we go ahead and carry on?
Well, I have a question. You say you could break it, you could break the rune forcefully. How does that work?
Get a powerful enough spell, you can break the rune.
Could you do that from a distance?
Yeah, you can do it from a distance.
Okay, here is my suggestion. We're currently in the middle of the room here. If we head up to 41 by the tree line, could you do it from that far away?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that from far, that far away.
Okay, then I suggest we get into the entryway to the next room above us, where the tree line starts, and we'll have, you know, some close cover with the trees. And I say give it the shot. Try and magically break the room of the box.
Okay, you guys walk up to the...
Question. Are there archways, or is it more of just rooms end and begin kind of there?
Rooms end and begin kind of there.
Okay, so there's no specific archway. It says you're in room 41.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Okay, as you guys are standing at the edge, Damien primes a fire spell in his hand. Okay, and he's able to let it go off. And then he does enough damage to it as the entire chest burst into flames. But the rune's broken.
Okay. Then kind of quickly, I'm going to rush back over and still being careful and still from behind the chest. Now with my metal arm that can't be burnt. Attempt to lift open the latch and open the chest.
So, as you lift it up, you see a lot of the gold that was in there, and it looked like there was like 200 gold in there. It's like burning.
I mean, it's gold, though.
Yeah, it would be a giant chunk of gold.
Okay. Well, again, still with my metal hand, can I attempt to just sort of, and again, without jostling the chest too much, try and reach in and just grab some and pull it out?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's high or low for favorable results.
High, favorable.
It's
pretty high.
It's not as high as you would want it to. So as you reach in, a lot of the gold starts turning into dust. But you're able to get about 5 gold coins out of it.
Okay. I'll plop those in my bag.
Is there anything else you would like to grab out of there?
Is there anything else in there?
High or low, favorable results.
Let's go high. Keep going.
2.
That's not that high.
No, everything else burned.
Okay.
And then as you notice that as everything's burning away within the chest, it just starts getting lighter, and the pressure plate starts lighting up.
We need to go now. And I'm going to start booking it to 41.
And so as you guys are running, are you going to look behind you at all?
Nope.
Okay, we're not going to Sodom and Gomorrah this. You hear a loud booming noise, and you feel like a slight shockwave hit the back of you. It doesn't trip you over, it doesn't knock you prone, but you feel it behind you. And you keep running.
And I'm gonna, once we get kind of into the next room through the trees, Ruka's gonna stop for a second, kind of catch his breath. Very good work, Damien. It's maybe not as much as we could have gotten, but 5 gold is still 5.
And then as you rush in, Damien is quiet. You guys look up, and there's another beast. Would you like to roll an insight to see if you know this beast?
Sure, okay, you still do nature?
Yes, you can still do nature.
Oh, that was very nearly a 1. It turned into a 21.
Oh, okay. You know this beast. It's called a terror.
A terror?
Yeah, terror.
Okay, that's a great name.
It has like a pinkish, like red face, resembling a vulture, with large sharp teeth, along with coral scales covering its underbelly. Its hind legs are powerful and muscular, while its front limbs are much smaller and mostly useless. Think of like a T-Rex.
Gotcha.
Feathers cover the terror's back, front limb, and legs, which give it an appearance like a T-Rex. Terror has powerful jaws that allow it to rip apart foes, along with a powerful nose used for smelling out prey. It can also breathe fire from its maw, Terrors are relentless predators that will chase down anything that dares attack them. Once they've been provoked, Terror won't let an enemy get away easily. They are known to leave behind a mucus-like substance to mark its territory.
Okay. Let's get out of here. The first thing I'm going to look at is... first off, has it seen us?
Not yet.
Okay. Which direction is it facing?
It's facing 40.
Ah, so many wouldn't say that. Okay. So if it's looking at 40, that means our only other exit is where we came from or up top. So we'd have to, again, go around it. Also on the right side to get around where it's looking. I think that's probably going to be our best bet. So very quickly, becoming quiet, I'm going to look towards Damien.
We need to go very quietly around the right side of the room to keep going forward.
Okay.
Okay, then I'm going to start stealthing my way around the right, hoping to get up to room 31.
Damn it. Roll stealth.
That's a 10. I have a question. Can Damien and I help each other with our stealth? If we're two buddies...
I wrote a 1.
...on our own. Oh, boy.
So, Damien actually kicks you into the forest line. As he does that, the monster... So, what happens is, as you guys are sneaking, he makes a ton of noise. And the monster notices him. Before the monster can notice you, he kicks you into the forest line.
I see.
And then he immediately runs to 50.
Okay, so back into the room we were just in.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm assuming the creature follows him?
Yes, the creature. It is a large, well, it's a huge monster, and it follows him out of the room.
Okay, I'm going to go behind them, not close enough to kind of get the creature's attention, but I need to try and stick with my buddy here. Can't split our team up too much. So I'm going to go after them.
And as you go after him, you run into quite a scene. It is sorry, I have a description that I have to scroll to get to.
Because I think I know what Damien's doing, and if he's not doing it, then I have an idea of what we can do. I just don't know how it's going to work, depending on how quick this creature is.
So as you walk in, you see Damien running towards a large 6'10", physically imposing, caramel-skinned toned individual whose muscles ripple as she bounces on the balls of her feet and smiles at both the challenge of facing Damien and the terror. Her long red mane curled hair makes her appearance look even more intimidating. And she has very fierce brown eyes that jump for joy as the monster gets closer to her. You see a prominent white leather cape bellow in a non-existent wind as her latex outfit accentuates the power her bodily temple represents. This person is Master of Spiritus at the god at the College of Druids, the almighty Vaconic hero, sentinel, protector of the world, and master of Vaconic magic. And then Damien, gotta roll a dexterity. At least roll on that. He is able to flip around her as the terror rushes right into, like, kind of bite into her. You don't see. All you see is the Terror's mouth seemingly, like, close around it as Damien doesn't stop, turns around, makes a beeline towards you.
Okay. I'm going to give him kind of the come on motion with both my hands, kind of wave him, and I'm going to start making my way back to 41.
And right as you're turning around, you see that the Terror isn't moving, as seemingly with a giant bit of force, its jaws are, like, broken out from around what it was trying to bite. And that's the last thing you see, as you and Damien just book it. You guys do not wait. You guys don't just stare around with mouths open. You're just like, okay, let's get out of here.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend, once we get into 41, instead of going up like we planned, especially now that the Terror's gone, head left and start going towards the center and trying to make our room to 40. Just so we can make as many turns as possible and try and lose Sentinel.
Okay.
So we're going to go through to 41, which is hopefully should be now be empty with the Terror gone.
Yep, 41 is completely empty now.
And then forward left into 40.
So there is nothing in 40 except what seems to be a few students stuck in like some sort of slime. They are unconscious, but there are three students. So you could tell that this is a team that probably already failed. They're not dead. They're just unconscious within this slime. That's the only thing that's in this patch of the forest.
Okay. I have a question. How is the slime, is it a large cube of slime, or is it like a pit?
It's like a pit.
Okay, so they're trapped in something like quicksand-esque, but it's slime.
Yeah.
Are they fully submerged, or are they like halfway out?
They're like up to like shoulders in it.
Okay. Could I do, I don't know if I need to do a check or if I can just see this. Do they have anything on them? Like equipment or gear?
It's underneath the slime, so do go ahead and do a check where you can see it better.
Okay. So if that's going to be perception, that's going to be a 9.
You see coin pouches on them. Damien looks at you. Well, they're not going to need the money.
The slime pit, is it in the center of the room?
No, it's towards like the, let's see. It's in the southeast corner.
Okay. Cause we need to go quickly, but, there might be a good chance for us to kind of, pick something up.
I don't know about you. My tuition's pretty high. I didn't do as well as I thought I would on a test.
Does the pit look like it was disguised at all?
Roll a perception. Or roll an investigation, sorry.
Sure. You want to call it 10 or is that half and half?
I call it 10.
Okay, that's going to be a 12.
Okay, yeah, no, not at all. It looks like it used to be disguised on specifically the point that they were standing on. But it looks like it fell, you can see along the edge that it fell off enough to where it's like, okay.
So it's clear there was a disguise.
Yeah.
That's good. What did it look like, the disguise that fell off?
It just looked like it was, someone put down, like, a spirit, one of their, like, an earth spirit of some kind, and just covered it up.
I don't like the look of this. I think, could be further trap, could be, area in front of them is also, fake, and could lead to slime. I think we might be best off keep going. With Sentinels so close... you know, she is the one hunting us. She defeated the Terror. I say we keep going quickly on to 35.
Fine.
If you fail, then we all fail. I say let's not risk it.
Okay, you guys go to 35. There's another beast in 35.
Oh my god, every room's a beast.
Funny enough, it's not that bad. It's not that bad of a beast.
Okay.
Just kidding. It's a legendary monster. I'm just kidding. Okay. What you see is a giant owl in the center of the room. It's not making any move towards you. It seems like it's just living its life.
Okay. Does it look like it's sitting on anything?
Yes.
Is it like a nest or what's
it looks like
on?
A nest.
Okay. Is that towards the center of the room or where is the owl?
Yeah, the owl was towards the center of the room.
Okay.
You see that it seems like one it tried to get like a perfect vantage point of like
360?
Yeah.
Okay. This is kind of a mathy question. The distance we are from it now, could we maintain that going around it to the other door? Or would we have to at some point get closer?
No, you can keep the distance.
Okay. And has it noticed us yet?
Yeah, it's looking right at you, but it's just not doing anything.
Okay. Kind of very calmly, not defensively, but kind of putting my hands up, just sort of like, I'm good, man. I'm going to try and maintain the distance from the owl and make our way to the only other exit in the room, which is at the top, and heading on to 29 for that top exit.
As you're doing that, the owl puts its wings out. Doesn't do anything. It just has its wings out. It's like, might be puffing its chest a little bit.
Okay, does it, as we get closer to the door, does it do that?
No. Yes, it's doing that the entire time until you guys...
Okay, the entire time. Okay, yeah. Cool. It wasn't we got closer to the door and then it started. It's just, yeah. It's been doing that. Okay, we'll keep going.
We're out of here, Owl.
We don't got a problem. If you can slow down Sentinel, that'd be great. You know, give her some of the wings. We love it.
So, you walk into 29. What?
The way you said that, that might be like a reaction.
Oh, as you walk in, there is a red-skinned, ferocious dog-looking thing eating another beast.
Anything else in the room?
There's like student. It seems to be. People who have applied to the school are just like around this beast. They're just watching it like eat another beast.
Is it in like kind of a pit?
No, it's just with them.
Is anyone cheering or you know egging something on or?
Two of the people look kind of disgusted. One guy looks really into it.
Okay, but they're not making noise or kind of.
Yeah, they're just
all standing there still watching it.
Yeah, and it is going to town on the okay. other beast.
Have they seen any of us yet?
Not yet.
Okay. We're going to make our way towards 28, so the room that exits to the left. As we get closer to that door, do they react at all to us? Do they even see us?
Roll stealth. I'm not going to roll this dice I rolled before.
Ah, that failed. Now I'm the one holding this back.
Oh, fudge. Got a 13. The one that seemed really into the thing eating it, like, turns around, and it's just like, another one. Hey, guy. What are you doing here?
I'm leaving here.
Oh, interesting. You know, I've had a pretty shitty day. I've had to deal with shitty fucking masters at the shitty school. The person I'm trying to kill got away. My girl got away. This stupid fucking cowboy got away. And now I find you here. How do you think I should feel? Tell me. How should I feel right now? His companions are kind of like... Like, they're making looks at you. They're trying to communicate. Hey, like, we're with this guy because he's like... Our teammate,
yeah.
Trying to indicate to you that, hey, if he starts fighting you, like, we can't stop him, but we're not, like...
They're not going to help.
We're not going to help. Right. We're not with him.
Ruka's going to kind of square up a little bit. You should feel lucky that we are leaving, because these masters that you're talking about coming in and making your day shitty, one is following us. Have you heard of Sentinel, a hero master at the College of Druids?
Yeah, I don't give a shit about Sentinel.
She's following us. She just killed a terror 2 rooms back. If we stay here, if you keep us longer than we need to be, she will come here, and she will kill all of us. If we leave, she won't spend any time here. She won't interrupt you at all. She'll keep on with her day.
I have a Drake Wolf right here. I'm good.
Do you know what a terror is? Have you seen one?
Yeah, of course.
It is large, massive beast that would take your Drake Wolf and eat it for breakfast. Not even breakfast. A snack in between meals.
Well, it's like 5 p.m., so it would be dinner. So...
Not even dinner. That's what I'm saying. It would have already eaten it hours ago. Not even discussion to be had between your Drake Wolf and a terror. And Sentinel just beat a terror to death with her hands after it ate her. No chance, no matchup there. If we are here when she is here, it will kill your beast.
Buddy, what's your problem with me, buddy?
I got no problem with you. Okay, we're trying to leave. We're trying to make on with our day.
You know what, guys? I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill this guy. You're dead to me.
What do you think happens when you... Well, let's say you kill me. Let's say you kill me and my friend here. You kill two of us, then you stand over our dead bodies and Sentinel comes to the room. You think she likes what you're doing? You think she is happy with this, that you killed her prey? No. She makes your day is shitty now. My friend, your day would be absolute pile of giant crepes.
Roll a persuasion or an intimidation or whatever you feel.
I'm going to say persuasion. I'm not trying to scare this guy myself. I'm just trying to be like, hey, buddy, you want us gone. Like, we're doing you a favor here. Okay, so currently, with persuasion, that's a 14. However, I am an expert in subterfuge. And I think this is another moment where I really want Ruko to win here. So I'm going to use my second expert in subterfuge, and I'm going to use that here, because it's for stealth and persuasion, which is pretty nice. So at first roll I got was a 10, pretty middle of the road. Let's hope this one improves on that. Oh, that was so close to being better. So 14 is the number. Can Damien help me at all?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so currently we're working at 14.
Plus 2.
So 16.
Sweet. That's great. You only had to beat 15.
Oh, okay. That was so close then. So I really needed Damien's help on there. The team is working already.
Okay. Get the fuck out of here, guy. Get out of here.
I'm going. That's what we're trying to do. We're going. We're leaving.
You better hope you don't get into this school. You're dead.
You're dead.
You're dead.
I'm out of here. This is over.
And then you see, as you're turning around, you see him like smack the back of the heads of the people that he is with. Yeah, go ahead and bond to these other Drake fools. Let's get out of here.
Can I remember that guy's face?
Yeah, of course.
Ruko will remember that. Appears in the top right of the screen. All right. So off to, we were just in 29, off to 28, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. While you're looking at the notes, it seems like a good time for a break. I need to head to the bathroom real quick.
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
I need water.
Yeah, I keep the sound off of my computer.
I've had running commentary that I'm sick.
My book has been almost 50 pages.
Wow,
you're gonna have to show me how you did it because I'm afraid of ruining mine.
I think it's just get rid of the fear.
I don't have the best for writing. I've just been writing.
Look at me, I'm anxious. That straight would not be me. Well, it's straight thing about so smart.
Yeah. Although I will say, for the...
Where was that his posture?
For the runes themselves, I do, like, make sure that they are perfect, at least, to make it look nice. Other than that, I just like
here. Let me see it.
Here you go.
Let me get you a
flip through it.
I was going to do... See, the thing to combat my fear was I was going to type it all up and then print it out.
That would be nice one. But in my head, I'm also like, yeah, Ivan will eventually write his own notes in there about runes. Maybe make his own runes. Who knows?
Well, you can do it all in like, sorry, I'll do it, this is too much work. It's like you can write all of it in your dad's handwriting, like, and make it. And then use a different pen and just comment on it.
What?
Comments on it.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said he comes on it. I was like, what?
Why would I say that?
That's why I reacted with surprise.
Ooh, sorry. I think I stole it from, like, the
after.
Oh.
Right now. I can't give them.
I stole it from the author from City of Bones. And she wrote, she has, like, a version of City of Bones where it's, like, all the characters will annotate the.
Oh, wow. That must be fucking insufferable. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the characters in City of Bones. I'm like, ugh.
There's a version of Harry Potter like that.
That sounds.
It was actually pretty well done. But it was like, because she released
it. I sighed because I was about to be like, that sounds great. And then I remembered that she was trans.
Yeah. She released the textbooks that they use in class. And then we had a Harry's textbook. And then, like, Hermione and Ron right on the edges. And then Harry was like, you guys stop writing in my book?
You're writing your book. Yeah. Yeah. Fucking fuck you, Harry.
I love it.
I always came to Harry.
Thank you. $100,000 well spent.
Here we go.
You
No, that's okay. I'll do it.
I'm almost done. Right now, I'm writing the absolute zero room and stuff about that. And then I'm in the results. I'm gonna be like, because like my dad's like. So he has like notes and he's like, oh, here are the results of my rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is just, if you can't do it, because Asia, you weren't here when you did it, but.
Yeah, I passed out.
No, you're good. This room needs 420 mana to use. And so my dad's gonna write angry and he'll be like, yeah, I can't. I made this room that I can't fucking use it. I have to work for other methods.
Everyone, give me your power.
I'm so tired. What the fuck? Don't put your arms up. I'm tired now. I have a full shift at work.
God, that was
yo,
so
this
fun.
Is bullshit.
That's so fun.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
While we're still in the intermission, sorry, you were in the bathroom.
Thank you.
He was in the bathroom downstairs.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a 3-bedroom house. I'm oh, sorry, 3-bathroom house.
There you go. What was I going to say? I love that encounter, by the way. That was a lot of fun. So I have a question. We're still in intermission. The terror that Sentinel kind of broke the jaws off of.
Yeah.
Do I think that would kill it? Because you also, you mentioned it wasn't moving, so I don't know if it just, it died from something else as well, but.
No, she ate
though. Aww. I say it'd be interesting if it was just kind of laying there with broken jaw, being able to circle back and like, hey buddy, how you doing?
Sorry, she disabled it. Like, it's still alive.
Okay, well, that's what I was getting at. I fear if we end up getting back around to room 50, which. It's kind of a go, but, you know,
yeah,
not insane.
Armor class 14, hit points 136.
Yeah. So I was thinking,
speed 40 feet.
Cool. The reason I bring it up is because I think if we get back there, I might want to attempt to bond with it on the idea of if it's injured, I'd be able to help it and kind of get it back to full health. And I could take it out of the maze, which, you know, it wouldn't be in a life or death situation. So yeah, I've got my eyes on the terror. Come back and maybe help it. Possibly as my spirit bond. But we need to try and find Orion. Fred the Galaxy is on his belt.
The Galaxy's
on
Orion's
belt. We checked Orion's belt. There's no galaxy there.
Orion's belt is 3 stars. These 3. Galaxies, hundreds of millions of stars.
Chicago.
I don't actually.
It's from
Men in Black 2. No, those 2.
I thought it was the first movie.
No, it was because she was they were hanging out with Rosario Dawson, the roaches.
You're right.
They're not roaches.
Isn't that the first
That's in the second movie.
Rosario Dawson's number two. It's gonna be interesting. Do you know why Jay's partner at the end of the first movie isn't in the second one?
How come?
Tommy Lee Jones hated her.
Oh.
And he wouldn't come back for the sequel if she was still in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah. No, she gets memory flashed and she's back at the morgue.
Damn.
Yeah.
God, Men in Black International was so bad.
It was so garbage. Well, like, with especially considering like the chemistry Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth have,
yeah,
they didn't translate that at all on screen.
Did not come across
at all. I was so excited for that, which also just what a terribly written movie. I mean, it was just awful.
Why the fuck was he there?
Did James Corden write the movie or was he in it?
He was in it. He was the little alien that they hung out with.
Was he the beard alien?
I don't know.
It was the
the red one. That was Kumail Nanjiani.
Was that?
That was Kumail Nanjiani.
You're right, that was. Because I remember we watched the movie and I was like, yeah, I fucking hate Josh Gad. I was like, wait, let me make sure this isn't him. Oh no, it's not. It's Kumail Nanjiani.
Again, no one performed well in that movie, but it's not his fault. He's a really funny comedian, they just didn't write him well.
Apparently he's good in Eternals.
Apparently he's funky in Eternals,
right? Have you seen photos of him lately?
But he doesn't take his shirt off.
Wow.
What a waste. Now, he's an absolute smoke show in Eternals.
I like the term of being smoke.
Thank you. It's, I think it's a fun phrase to refer to attractive people.
He's a smoke show.
He's built. It's like seeing photos of him.
Good for you.
He looks like he should be like someone who's done like 40 Bollywood action movies, and it's just like, yeah, he's like, you know, he's this classic handsome guy who's in all the action movies, and it's just like, no, he's like he's just a comedian.
And then you're going to room 20.
Yes. So we were in 29. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of negotiated our way to leave. I want to go to the closest exit, 28. So that's going to be off to the left.
So you walk into 28, and there is nothing in there. As you look up in the sky, you see the sun starting to set.
Actually, I have dark vision, so I think I'll be all right. Okay, can I do an investigation check on the room to determine if it looks like anything was like killed or dragged out of here, or like, you know, made marks?
You can.
No, that's an 8.
Nothing looks like you see a lot of footsteps heading towards 38.
Okay, like a lot of footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
Do they look like they're all on top of each other or in a line?
On top of each other.
Okay, so kind of all over the place. It looks like people might have been scrambling to go to that room.
Yeah.
To 38, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, looking at the map, 25 just loops back around to 29, and I don't feel like dealing with that asshole again. I hated to have to kill him this early. For someone who's going to be my rival, I think. Let's milk that out a little bit. So, we got to go down. We're going to 38. Let's follow the footsteps.
Okay, 38. You enter from the north side of the room, and a rotting odor fills your nostrils in a pile of what seems to be rotten fruit sits in the center of the room.
Is there anything in all the fruit?
Maggots.
Ugh.
Damien is just like, it feels like we're going around in circles.
I mean, a little bit. We have a map, you know. It's we have gone in kind of a big circular motion, but a lot of this is retracing our steps, trying to find Orion. I think we should continue down into 44, and then try and keep heading left from there. See if we can pick up on his trail or anything, anyone who might have seen him. If we see more people. And kind of looking back towards room 29, who aren't big jerks.
Yeah, okay.
In the meantime, I think we should start thinking about the spirit bonds for us to make
Because if we cannot find Orion, we might just have to hope that he succeeds.
I'm actually looking for some sort of metal spirit of some kind.
And Ruko looking down towards his prosthetic arm.
That seems like a good idea. I might want to try and join you in that.
As you guys walk into 44, you realize that you're now in a giant mountainous area. It's the start of a mountain range known as the...
I think I can guess what you're going to say.
Kira Mountains.
Yeah.
Towering high above the city-state of Alexandria, it's a towering spire of volcanic mountains. All the highest elevations consist of active volcanoes, where plants can grow through the basalt, and they do so in alpine tundras. As the basalt recedes in the lower elevation, temperate rainforests are prevalent.
Okay. Aside from the new kind of occurrence of the mountain range, anything stick out to us in room 44?
No.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I think we might want to go left. We mentioned earlier, you know, we think Orion might be going off that way. It is the direction we first left in. That room 33... that goes to our left into the north. Could be promising. Damien, you think this direction?
We can try it. Honestly, I don't know what sort of spirit Orion would look for other than he fights with knives and he teleports to the knives. So if I had to logic my way through this, he would be looking for... maybe a shadow spirit? Maybe he's waiting till it gets dark?
That could make sense. Of course, the other thought that I have could be... might be maybe risky retracing our steps, but that terror, that sentinel, destroyed earlier, could be, if it is weak and in need of help, could make a good spirit bond to, you know... kind of help it heal and grow back. Could be a powerful spirit ally. What do you think of it?
I it would help because you've raised the ire of someone that made a bond with a drake wolf. So, you know, giant beast fights would be probably in your future.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Is the idea, you know, terror versus drake wolf. I said earlier, no contest. Terror wins. So the question there would be, if we want to go back to 50, instead of going up to the left and to the north, exact opposite. We go down to the south. And that would start taking us back that way. Because if we would go to 48 and then 49, there would not be so many new rooms we would have to go through.
And we've constantly been switching directions. So it's a chance that we've lost Sentinel, like... in the 35, 40, 39 area.
That is what I'm thinking. She might not expect us to turn back to the place that she nearly caught us. I say, let's try that.
Let's go ahead.
Down to the right to room 48.
So, you guys follow to room 48. And let's see what's in that room. Drum roll. Oh, it's empty.
Okay.
Like, honestly, it's a completely empty room. There's you're leaving the jungle area and once again heading into the plains, but it's empty.
Okay. I want to do, as we're moving forward, just a quick investigation check on the ground. Just try and see if anything looks like it might pull back into like a pit trap or something as we're moving forward. Okay. But other than that, I say let's just keep heading in that direction down to the right to 49. That's going to be a 6 for the investigation.
No, you don't see anything.
Cool. Then let's keep going that way.
So as you're heading out, you get into this new area, where you run into something.
Okay.
You see multiple groups of students fighting a creature. And the creature is standing within, like, water. It's quadrupedal.
Okay.
It's all four legs. And it looks like a wolf.
Okay, so but a giant one being fought by six students.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You said six?
Six.
Because Damien gave me a brief description of Orion earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing none of them seem close to that.
None of them are Orion.
Okay. Does it look like they're winning, or is this a tough fight, or are they losing?
Looks like it's a pretty tough fight, but they look like it seems even.
Okay. Here's what I'm gonna suggest. And kind of looking towards Damien. Here is my thought. Could be some of these people might have seen Orion. They might have a lead for us. Could be there are assholes like guy from earlier and might try to, hurt us or do something. I say we keep moving on back to the terror, deal with that, try and bond with that, and then see if we can come back this way. We've already cleared some of these rooms, and see how they're doing then. If they win, maybe talk to them. If they lose, then maybe not go that way, yeah?
Yeah, of course. We should probably sneak for they, like, won't see us, and then we come back and they're just like, oh, you guys didn't help us, but it's just like...
Oh, we were never even here.
Yeah,
I think
we
it's
never
good
even
idea.
Saw this.
Should be pretty easy. They're battling beast. I can't imagine they're looking that closely at things the opposite direction of the beast. So I got a 19.
Okay, sweet.
Actually, no, I got a 20. A sweet. Natural 20.
You're able to just walk through that. And so you're heading towards which room?
We were in 49. We're going to briefly move through 57 to get back into 50.
Okay.
We're going to just kind of... take that corner pretty quickly.
So you're not even going to wait to, like, look in the room. You're just going to...
We're going to, like, glance through it to see if there's anything, like, big and heading towards us. But if it's not anything like that, we're just going to corner through.
There's something big in the room, and it's standing on top of a hoard of treasure.
I don't even want to deal with that. Let's pass by.
You guys quickly move back to 50.
Okay. Is the terror still here?
Yes.
Okay. Is it like on the ground, whimpering? What's it doing?
It's on the ground. It looks really sad.
Okay. I'd like to first off approach it to where it can see me, like, as soon as possible. I don't want to surprise it. Again, kind of hands up in a very, like, slow, you know, manner, not rushing towards it, and just give some kind of, you know, hey buddy, how are you doing? So how's its first reaction when it sees us in here?
It's weak, and it immediately tries to, like, bite at you. But its jaws are floppy.
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of look towards it, kind of like, shh, shh, shh. Hey, it is okay. It is all right. We are not here to hurt you.
If I have to.
No, we're not here to hurt you. We are friendly. I'm going to look towards Damien and then kind of asking the DM if I might have this as well. Do you have any food on you? Anything to give it?
Yeah, I have some food.
Okay, give it just a little bit. Just some.
Damien tosses, like, a ration into its mouth.
Don't give it to me. I'm going to toss it to it.
Oh.
You want to bond with metal? I might bond with this.
Damien, like, he tosses it, but Damien's able to, like, run in and, like, grab it. And then, like, the beast is trying to, like, slam its jaw shut around Damien, but it can't. All
right.
Here you go.
So I'm going to look towards the beast, showing the food, and then I'm going to toss it kind of just in its mouth, essentially, in a way that I hope won't, like, choke it.
Okay. Yes, it does that, and it's able to eat down on. It's able to chew on it. It breaks it down. Well, it's able to use, like, its back of its jaws.
Yeah, and kind of it can get it enough. Then I'm going to kind of hopefully look towards it again.
We're friends, it's okay. We don't want to hurt you. We want to help you.
Okay. I'm going to need you to roll a nature.
All right. I'm not bad at nature. That was a 16.
Okay. Now I'm going to roll against you. Eight.
I got double that.
So.
Actually, is Damien helping me at all?
Damien can't help you because
it's me.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good. That makes sense.
So. A druidic link opens up between you two. And while you can't understand what the creature is saying, they can speak to you in like sort of emotions or like feelings. Where it's just like, okay.
I can't talk to it, but it can convey things to me.
Yeah. And so it's conveying to you that it's in a lot of pain right now.
Okay. Am I able to kind of continue just edging forward to it?
Yeah.
Okay. When I get close enough, I'd like to try and like pet it a little bit.
It appreciates it. Its mouth still hurts.
Okay. So here, what I'd like to try and do is help it heal. And try and maybe do... the problem is I don't know a healing rune. I'm going to look towards Damien.
Do you have any... You mentioned some experience with runes. Do you have anything for healing or helping such a beast?
I currently don't have any magic available to me, but I did steal some healing rune tags from a group of friends of mine.
That is perfect, great planning ahead of time. If you could give me one, I will attempt to heal the creature.
Sure, why not?
And real quick, in this druidic connection to the beast, can I feel any emotions it is having for me?
You get the feeling, so as you think of those emotions, and you're shifting through it, because with the druidic bond, you're essentially opening yourself up to the other spirit. Like, you're leaving yourself bare open, so, and that's how
Do you want me to tell you what Ruko's honest feelings are right now?
Yes.
Okay, so Ruko, in the moment, first off, a lot of pity, a lot of, I feel really bad for this creature. I think, you know, I want to help it, and but he's also a little bit scared. Because he doesn't want to help it and then have it hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also sort of like approaching this as like, I think I do want to help you. And I think if I help you, you won't hurt me in return. And I'm willing to kind of gamble on that a little. That's kind of his genuine emotional, situation right now.
The terror itself, you feel that it hates every other living thing in the world and that it would not care if everything in the world burned.
Including me.
You are like a notch up.
A notch up. Okay. Okay. I'm gonna. You know what? I'm gonna gamble on love. I think I'm gonna bet on it. Ruko, you know, feels real bad for this creature, especially because you know, it only ran into Sentinel because she was looking for us. There's a bit of guilt there. I'm gonna help it. So I'm gonna attempt to kind of help gently push its jaws back into place, and then apply one of the healing tags.
Okay. Roll a medicine to... Damien can help with this.
Okay. 16.
Plus 2.
Cool, so 18.
So yeah, you're doing enough to, like, set it, and then you place it on there, and it's... You place a healing tag on it, and you can use your magic from your arm.
Okay.
It'll only be one. Because you just have to activate the rune.
Oh, okay, the mana. I gotcha. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Okay. At first, like, I didn't know if you want me to roll for something. That makes sense. Yeah, so I'll use some of the charge from my arm to power the rune.
Okay. Cool. And it gains... Gains 12 points of health back, and you see its jaw, while a little bit seemingly a little tender, is like set.
Okay. And while that's kind of setting, I'm going to keep petting it and kind of like, isn't that much better? You feel good now, yes.
And then you feel you feel the feeling in your head that we can make a bond.
Okay.
But I have some stipulations.
Sure. These are complex emotions. I understand logistically. I love the concept of the emotion of there are strings attached.
Because, for this is the third druidic bond we get to see on camera. Druidic bonds are interesting because it comes from the fact that they're not just making a bond with you. You're making a bond with them.
Yeah, two-way street.
You guys are supposed to have equal power within it. So, like, no one's treated as a pet. No one is treated as, like, better than the other one. Mm. It's just you guys are...
We're a partnership.
You're a partnership. So, you are given the name of this creature. And it pretty much expresses, my name isn't just, like, terror. You don't have to, like... So, their name is Mark.
No. For a second, I was like, oh, okay.
Yuruk.
Yuruk?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
Y-U-R-U-K.
Are you sure you want to go with that spelling? Because I know Uruk is the Lord of the Rings word for orc. In that specific spelling.
Oh, that was very... This is very much a callback to the Legend of Gilgamesh. Okay. We can go with...
The only reason to bring that up is just because I know, like, just that specific word is, like, it's big in Lord of the Rings, which I haven't seen Lord of the Rings. Because I kind of, it's like Uruk and Uruk-hai.
Go with Vodka. W-A... R-K-A.
W-A-R-K-A. Vodka. This is vodka. I like that.
And so, let's talk about your druidic contract. Essentially, they want to be able to occasionally be able to hunt, be able to kill.
Yeah. So I plan on doing some pirate stuff. You say it's got short arms?
Yeah.
So it can't fly or anything. Mm-hmm. So we're probably not going to do a lot of... I'm not going to take it out on a boat with me. I can't imagine it'd swim that well either. So what I'll probably do is just sort of land piracy. Or just go out hunting with it. Yeah, I can take it out hunting.
Wants to never be hungry.
I think that's fair.
Wants to be able to kill Sentinel.
Mm-hmm. Does it? Are you saying it want me to kill Sentinel, or I want to give it the chance to kill Sentinel?
It wants to have the chance to kill Sentinel.
I'm going to convey back to them. That seems like a bad idea, because Sentinel immediately broke your jaw and left you for dead. Currently, you're weaker right now. You're healing, but you're on the mend. And Sentinel, quite frankly, we have no idea how much she's been through. It seems like she's possibly been through the ringer, running through this maze. She doesn't seem phased at all. So it's not in a position of me saying, I forbid you from hunting Sentinel, but I'm going to say, genuinely out of compassion, I think that's a bad idea for you. I think that you, I don't think you're in a position to do that. And I don't think that's a wise decision. I think going forward, as things change, it's something that we can talk about, but as far as being in the contract, that's going to be a no.
Okay, roll a nature to convince, or persuasion.
I'll go with persuasion, because it's also me kind of, you know, trying to convince it's a bad idea. 15.
Okay, you're able to convince it. And then it lets you know that, okay, if I can't kill Sentinel, get me a fight with Sentinel. Like, sooner or later. It doesn't have to be right now. But I want my rematch.
Here's what I'm going to recommend. Here's my counteroffer. Because I think you fighting Sentinel is not a great idea. And I think that there isn't a positive outcome, because if you do kill Sentinel, or if you win this fight, I think that's, to be honest, I think College of Druids might just kill you in retaliation. It would say to them that you are a very powerful and dangerous beast, and they need to kill you immediately. And I think that that's a bad idea. Here's what I can offer in return, is if we're going to be at the College of Druids, we're going to be sharing space with Sentinel, I can help you get moments to, like, pee on all her stuff, if you want to, like, annoy her in other ways, or if you want to get back at her in other ways. You know, I think there are other methods to do that. So if you want me to help you kind of annoy her or ruin some of her days, I can help you there. But I think you fighting Sentinel, aside from the fact that I think win or lose, that's not going to go well for you, I don't think it's the best way to go about that.
Okay. Roll again to get convinced.
Sure. That was an 8.
Ooh, I got 15.
Not a bad argument, though.
It's not a bad argument. I'm not going to kill Sentinel in a fight. I just want to prove that I'm not as weak as she's made me out to look.
How about this? Because I understand that, and you don't want to seem weak. You think you're stronger than that fight represented. I think fighting Sentinel directly isn't going to work. What if we find a situation that Sentinel couldn't handle, or a beast she couldn't fight, and you and I work together and we beat that beast? And by the transitive property, we did something she couldn't. We're stronger than her. You're stronger than her.
Okay, roll for it.
Oh, that was so close to a 12. That's 6.
I got a 1, so.
Cool. We shove with the legendary Fin Fang Foom.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. In your contract, we get to fight something that Sentinel couldn't beat. And through the transitive property, we would be made better than Sentinel. That's pretty much it. That's all they need for this bond. What do you need from this bond?
And Derek, this is going to be a question where I'm asking you as the player, because I'm unfamiliar with this kind of stuff. What's on the table here?
So you can ask that, hey, whenever I want to use your magic, I can. Like, not enough to kill you, but like, I can use you as like, I can use your magic to cast spells.
I can dip into your magic pool.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, or is that just mostly what you get from Druid Bonds? Is just using their magic?
You always protect me. You keep safeguard of me. Whenever I call, you have to come.
Okay, so here's going to be my proposals. First off on the table is, like you said earlier, and I'm just doing this out of character voice right now because I figure this is kind of not Marco. That's my other D&D character. Ruko isn't, like, talking to the beast. It's more of like a conveyance of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm kind of going out of character. So the first one is going to be, I'd like to pull from your pool of magic. I'll put a hard limit on it. So I say, you know, because I know, understand, if you pull a certain amount, it'll kill them. I don't know what the number is, but we'll say, well, can you tell me how much mana he has?
50.
50? Okay. I'll say...
obviously, it's a pretty big pool of mana. Beast.
I'm going to say I would like unlimited access to the mana until you have 10 or less. So that way I'm never in a position of putting you in a situation where you couldn't use mana if you needed it. So I'll never be able to pull where I can kill you. I'll never be able to pull enough that you won't still have mana left over.
Okay.
But I want above that, I want to use whenever I want.
Yeah, that works.
Okay, I think it's pretty fair. Second, while I certainly don't command you, I think if we're in a situation where you want to fight or kill someone, if we're not in a hunting environment where you'll have free rein, you need to clear it with me first, unless it's an imminent danger to you. So if someone attacks you first, okay, it's different. But if you just want to kill someone or eat someone or attack them, and we're not in hunting and you're not in imminent danger and I'm not in imminent danger, you got to clear it with me first.
Okay. He'll take it.
Okay. And then, let me see. I'm trying to think of one more. He had like three. There's one other thing I want. So I'll have to clear kills with me. I'll pull from his magic. Now I would say within reason. So, you know, as long as I'm not ordering you to hurt yourself or do something that would dramatically inhibit your self-interests, I'd appreciate it if you followed my commands. So I'm going to say you don't have to follow literally every order. You know, you don't have to follow orders that would hurt you. But if I ask you to move something or to attack someone who's threatening us, I want you to do that. So if I need your help, I can call on you. And you'll do things as long as it's not detrimental. I'm not going to ask you to sacrifice yourself or, you know, hurt yourself to do something for me. But otherwise, I'd like you to do what I ask you to.
Okay. Everything you ask is reasonable.
Cool.
And so you agree with the contract. They agree with the contract. You feel a permanent, what seems to be a permanent, like, feeling within your brain of being connected. You have, with the druidic bonds you make, you are always bound to that creature. And as long as that bound, as long as no one breaks any of the rules of this contract, that bound will always be there and you will always feel.
Cool.
So you'll be able to sense that they're still alive. You'll even be able to do simple communications from significant distances away.
Okay. Yeah, again, that kind of emotional conveyance we were just doing. Okay. And Ruko will kind of, once they leave this sort of trance of communicating and negotiating, first give a thumbs up towards Damien, but also kind of look up to it. This is just a question. Feel free to say no pressure. Are you uncomfortable with people or with me, say, particularly riding on your back? Is that something that you are definitely not okay with, or something that you don't mind, or, you know, something that you might want for some reason? What is your thoughts on that?
You get the feeling it's essentially only you that they will let on their backs.
Okay. Well, you're saying will let me on your back. You know, if you don't want me to, then it's okay. But you know, just generally, do you not care? Do you prefer not? What am I getting off that?
Don't care.
Don't care. Cool. Then I'm going to kind of hop up on his back, on his shoulders, and again, you know, while I'm up there, once I get situated, kind of pet him on the neck, like, thank you. This is a good partnership. I look forward to working with you and the two of us staying strong together.
And as you guys are talking, you feel a sort of shimmering around you before you're instantly in a giant hall.
Okay.
And there's a giant banner on the wall, and it's like, hey, congratulations, you passed. Damien looks around. Damn it! I didn't even get a chance to bond with anything cool. I guess they just count me bonding with Vera as, like, a bond. And then, next to you, you see what you think must be your third team member being held by the neck by Sentinel. Oh, you guys passed. Perfect. And they just drop Orion to the floor. He's bloody. He has a black eye. He's been through the ringer.
Seeing this, Ruka's going to look back towards the masters of the College of Druids. I would like a question, if I can ask for clarification. Does the team membership end here, or do we continue that into the college?
Oh, no, the team membership ends here. I'm glad you asked. Yeah, it was just, you guys just paired up. You guys are actually, like, the third team done. You guys actually did a good job. You did this in, like, under, like, 4 hours.
Great. And kind of looking back towards Orion, just sort of, like, very grateful that that ends here. And then kind of, again, you know, gesturing back to, not gesturing, but thinking back to the card Damien gave him. Kind of like, Damien seems cool. If we want to keep hanging out, I'm cool with that.
And as you wait for the other students to finish, that's where we're in this chapter for today.
All right.